Welcome to Marvin Methodist Church's Sanctuary Service, brought to you from our beautiful historic sanctuary in downtown Tyler. My name is Doug Baker, and I'm the lead pastor. We appreciate your participation in this morning's broadcast and pray that God's message will speak to you in a beautiful way. Let's join in as the message has already begun.
In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Would you please join me in prayer? Most gracious God, we thank you for this time together to pray to you, Lord, to sing your praises, and to hear your word proclaimed. God, I ask now that you speak through me. Let it be your words that we hear, not my own. God, may you hide me behind the cross so that Christ may be glorified in all that I say. It's in his most precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Well, our sermon series for Advent is titled Brought to the Light. And apparently this morning y'all have been brought to the strobe lights that we have here in the sanctuary. Our facilities team is aware of this, and we have someone coming out this week to fix this. But in the meantime, just pretend it like it's a feature that you see like on Christmas lights that you string on your house or on your Christmas tree, and they flicker and look all pretty. Just pretend it's that, and like we did it on purpose this morning. But our passage this morning reminds us of quite a few similar events that have happened throughout the Old Testament. We have Abraham and Sarah having a child in their old age. We have Rachel bearing Jacob, two sons after years of childlessness. And we also have the birth of Samson and Samuel to mothers who were considered to be barren. And in our passage today, Luke hints that this situation for Zechariah and Elizabeth, it's not a strange new thing. But it takes place within a long-standing sequence of God's purposes. The child that they prayed so long for will play a key role in God's fulfillment of his promises. Zechariah and Elizabeth weren't expecting any of this, though. They were simply just devout people going about their regular business. Scripture says that they were righteous in God's sight. They were observant Jews, keeping the law as a sign of grateful devotion to God. And they lived outside Jerusalem in the Judean hill country. And like all priests except the chief priests, Zechariah would come into the city when it was his division of priests' turn to perform the regular temple liturgy. He would stay in housing within the temple precincts and then return home to continue his normal work as a teacher and as a leader within his community. And on this occasion, though, Zechariah's trip to perform the regular temple liturgy ended up being anything but regular for him. What made this trip different was the fact that, first of all, he was appointed to go into the inner court, out of sight of the lay people, to offer incense before God. Now, this was a huge honor that many priests would wait a lifetime hoping to be selected for. And we have the worshipers gathered in the temple court to pray while Zechariah went inside the holy place just before the Holy of Holies to appear before God as a representative of the people and to offer the incense offering, symbolizing the prayers of the people being offered up and raised up to the Lord. And Zechariah's prayers at this point had been lifted up to God many times. But now he was appearing before God on behalf of others and their prayers. And if I'm being honest, if I were in Zechariah's shoes at that time, there would have been a lot of internal conflict that I would have been wrestling with. And that's because on one hand, Zechariah had one of the highest honors to go before God to lift up the prayers of others. But then on the other hand, here Zechariah is, having his own prayers being lifted up to God time after time, month after month, year after year, yet never being answered. Imagine how weary Elizabeth and Zechariah felt, longing to have a child. And again, month after month, year after year, as they prayed to the Lord, as they remained devoted to him fully, no child came. And this part of scripture really touches close to home for me because for those of you that don't know, my sister is 14 years older than me, and she's actually the one that named me Jacob. And she told me that she always wanted a baby brother, and her childhood dreams came true the day that I was born. And now if you ask her how she feels about me now, I don't know if she'd have the same thing to say. But she did post all that on my Facebook one time, and so I made sure to keep the receipts in case she tries to say otherwise. But as sweet and as happy as this part of my story sounds, it doesn't mean that those 14 years between me and my sister were times full of joy and excitement for my parents. It wasn't like they were like children seeing the presents under a Christmas tree and just having to wait in joyful excitement for Christmas Day to come so that they can tear into those presents. For Zechariah and Elizabeth, and for my parents, and eventually my sister, there were no guaranteed presents under the tree. There was nothing to hold or look at in joyful anticipation to wonder what it would be. My mom even told me that not only did my parents suffer the pain of longing to have another child and going 14 years without, but on top of that, my mom shared with me that my parents suffered the devastating fact that there were multiple miscarriages in the meantime. Fighting so hard for and going so long without something makes it feel like it's just never going to happen, which makes sense as to why it can eventually lead to giving up hope. And this seems to be the case for Zechariah and Elizabeth here in Scripture. And to be honest, this barrenness that Elizabeth was facing didn't make sense, though, because Scripture tells us in verse 6, both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. The devout faithfulness of this couple was difficult to reconcile with the fact that they still didn't have any children. In Psalm 128, verses 1 through 4, it states that the man who fears the Lord and walks in his ways will be blessed with children. And so childlessness was considered a real calamity in any Jewish household. In the case of this couple growing older and older in age, past the age of bearing children, it made this dream of theirs truly seem hopeless. And we see this hopelessness taking root in this couple by the fact that Elizabeth was feeling disgraced by her people from the fact that she couldn't get pregnant. And then we see the hopelessness of Zechariah comes out in full force when he receives a promise from God directly from the angel Gabriel. And yet he still struggles to believe him, and he asks him to explain how it could even be possible. Zechariah and Elizabeth's situation is a powerful reminder that godliness and faithfulness, these two things do not exempt us from suffering or disappointment, nor do they guarantee that we will have a blessed life, at least blessed in the sense of how we want to describe a blessed life, of receiving everything we hope for and everything that we want. But those that are in Christ truly are blessed by the simple fact that our hope rests in the Almighty Living God, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end, the God who is making all things new. The Apostle Paul helps us to refocus our thoughts in the midst of suffering and disappointment by saying in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." Now, this verse is not minimizing the pain and suffering that we experience in this life. It simply puts it into its eternal perspective, which truly showcases just how incomprehensibly wonderful, how satisfying, and completely fulfilling God's revealed glory will be when there's no more pain, no more tears, no more suffering, no more longing, and when death is completely done away with. Church, hope is not only an important Christian value, it's a standard of our Christian faith. And hope is essential to the Christian life, especially as we seek to stay grounded in the midst of life's challenges, losses, and disappointments. Zechariah and Elizabeth's situation also reminds us that we can hold on to hope for certain outcomes without demanding guarantees from God. Yes, Zechariah did end up asking for confirmation from Gabriel after not taking his word at face value, which is why Zechariah was mute until the day that John was born. But for years and years before the promise came, this couple remained devout and fully committed to the Lord, even though it seemed like their prayer was never going to be answered. Zechariah's devotion to the Lord outweighed any emotions that I personally would have felt. And he went into that temple that day to fulfill his priestly duties with honor in the midst of his painful longing. Church, what a powerful lesson for us to be faithful to God and the task at hand before us, regardless of any circumstance or any personal disappointments. And this brings up another point, that the God-honoring things that we hope for, those unmet longings in our life, these things can truly become a place of powerful and transformational encounter. When we find ourselves in a season of longing, it creates space where God meets us personally. We can choose to be disappointed and twiddle our thumbs walking down the road of despair, or we can take all of that discouragement, all of those disappointments, and just bring them to God and just press deeper into relationship with Him. It's in the places of our unmet hopes that we encounter the one who is hope Himself. Now, I fully understand that holding on to hope for God's future glory can be so difficult in the midst of suffering. It's so easy to hold on to hope when life is good, peaceful, things are going nice and smooth. But we can so quickly lose sight of that future hope when disappointments, when pain, when suffering come crashing into our lives and just cloud our vision. And if that's where we find ourselves at today, or maybe find ourselves at sometime down the road, we can rest assured and we can have our vision cleared in the midst of unmet hope to see the hope of God right in front of us. And we can do so by remembering what Paul says just a little later in Romans chapter 8 in verse 28. He says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." God causes all things. That's not just the good things, but it's also the bad things and everything else that's in between to work together for good. And church, that includes our unmet longings that make it a struggle to hold on to hope. Maybe you're holding on to hope for a new job, a promotion, or maybe the right time to move into retirement. Maybe you're hoping for the good news of a child or a grandchild. Maybe you're holding on to hope that your son or daughter will turn away from their destructive ways and turn to the Lord and receive Jesus Christ, not just as Lord, but as Savior and Healer and Redeemer. Maybe you're holding on to hope for a broken relationship to be restored. Maybe you have hoped for healing of a disease or a physical ailment for yourself or for someone close to you. We might not see it in the moment, but we can hold on to the hope and the truth that God is at work in all things, in all of these areas, as we continue to bring them to him in prayer. Church, we are abundantly blessed by the fact that God is with us in the midst of any and all longings, disappointments, and suffering. And as we continue to take these things to the Lord day in and day out, and as we invite him into all these different areas of our lives, we will find that this period of waiting refines our vision to where we can focus not on the gifts, but on the giver himself. Waiting can truly transform us. Waiting and longing are opportunities to trust God and allow him to work, not just in the areas that we pray for, but also, and sometimes even more so, to watch him work in our own hearts as he strengthens us, as he grows us, as he continues to mature us and make us more and more into the image of Jesus Christ our Lord. Our mindset can be changed from, "God, please just make this happen and please hurry and do so quickly, Lord." Can be changed to instead be, "Lord, I trust you. Lord, I know you're at work even though I can't see it and I don't even understand it. But God, I will continue to love and serve you even if this thing doesn't happen in my time." Zechariah and Elizabeth remained fully devoted to God and were considered righteous in his eyes, even though it seemed like their prayer was never going to be answered, until it was. Although Zechariah and Elizabeth received what they were longing for, the reality of their answered prayer looked quite different than what they thought, which is a great reminder for us that God's fulfillment of our longings and answers to our prayers often looks different than how we would originally imagine. Sometimes we get no for an answer from God. Sometimes we get a not right now. And sometimes we get a yes. And often that yes carries with it some challenges or some costs that we weren't originally expecting. Zechariah and Elizabeth were probably hoping for just an average baby to be born, and if he was a male, then He would grow up to be a priest just like his father. But John was anything but average, and probably did not grow up to be what his parents were dreaming about. No matter if it's today or 2,000 years ago, I can almost guarantee that any parent does not want to watch their kid grow up and then to go live on just locust and honey living out in the desert wilderness. But worse than that, though, the baby they hoped for would eventually be beheaded for speaking boldly truth in all circumstances. The angel Gabriel told Zechariah that his son John would have a very special mission. And what appeared to be a delay in answering their prayer made possible a birth that perfectly fit right into God's plans and purposes to proclaim the coming Messiah. The events that take place within our passage of Scripture today prepares us for the even more remarkable conception and birth of Jesus Christ. These back-to-back miraculous births remind us that God's answers to our hopes are woven into his grand narrative of redemption. And it's not just our personal dreams or ambitions. Our passage today is about so much more than Zechariah's joy at having a son at last. It's so much more than Elizabeth's exultation and being freed from the disgrace that she was experiencing from those in her village. Our passage today is about the great fulfillment of God's promises and purposes. But the beautiful thing is that the needs, the hopes, and even the fears of ordinary people are not forgotten in God's grand narrative. Church, you are not forgotten in God's grand narrative. Sometimes it might feel like it, but that's only the enemy trying to get you down and trying to let you let go of hope. But God has plans for you. God has purpose for all of you. And this is only because of who our God is, the God of love, joy, peace, and hope. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
Thank you.
Thank you for watching our broadcast this morning. I'd also like to personally invite you to join us for Sunday morning services here at Marvin Church. Our church is located at 300 West Irwin Street, one block west of the town square. Please visit our website to learn more about our church or text NEW, N-E-W, to 90382 to receive a personal response from our church. If you'd like to make a financial contribution to the church, please go to marvin.church/give or send a gift to the church at 300 West Irwin Street, Tyler, Texas, 75702. Thanks again for joining us, and have a blessed week.